Good morning, everybody. Welcome to New Hope Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. It's a beautiful day, although it may not seem like that maybe weather-wise, but it's a beautiful day because it's a day that we get to celebrate what the Lord is doing. So would you join us as we stand, as we worship the Lord for who He is?
You brought me to the water where my past can be swept away in the current of your mercy, and I know I'll never be the same. There's no limit to your promise, Jesus, you have done it all for me. Jesus, you have done it all for me. Soul can be satisfied, and your love is overflowing from within me, and it won't run dry. There's no limit to your promise, Jesus, you have done it all for me. Jesus, you have done it all for me.
With your grace, with all that you are. mountains and the sea. Your river runs with love for me. And I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing when your love came down. I can sing of your love forever. 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 Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me. And I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing when your love came down. I can sing of your love forever.
Jesus died for me. There's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Not forsaken, I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
Bye. light up. Mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Sing it out.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Sing it!
No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, now you won't tear down, coming after me. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, now you won't tear down, coming after me. Holy, overwhelming, heaven, reckless love of God. Holy Jesus, I'm Christ till I'm found. He's the nine. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away.
You know, the Bible talks about leaving the 99. It was Jesus himself who said that a shepherd will leave the 99 to go looking for that one lost sheep because he knows that the 99 are okay. He knows that the 99 will be taken care of because they're in the sheepfold. So he likens that to you and I, that we're a part of the 99. We're the ones who are taken care of by Jesus. We're believers, so we know him. And he said, it's okay, we're okay. We're going to heaven. We have a destination. We have an assignment. We have the person of the Holy Spirit, so we're okay. He said, however, there are others who do not know me. They're the lost. They don't know me yet. So it's okay for us to go look for those people who do not know God. He's saying, don't forget the assignment. This is why you worship me. You're empowered through the Holy Spirit because you have an assignment. You're not empowered of the Holy Spirit to get to heaven. I already did that for you. You're already taken care of. You're part of my kingdom. But for those who are far from me, you go and reach them. You continue to pray for them. You continue to open your arms and welcome people. In fact, that might be you. That might be you watching. Maybe you're saying, you know, I'm far from God. I don't know him yet. And I feel distant from God. Well, I want you to know that Jesus died. He left heaven, came to this earth, died just for you. If you were the only one on the face of this planet, Jesus would still come for you. That's how unbelievable his love is. So Lord God, today our eyes are all on you. We thank you that not only did you rescue us, but you've also given us a heart for people who have still yet to come to know you as Lord and Savior. Give us a heart for what you call the lost, because we were once lost, but now we're found because of what you have done. So give us that kind of heart, Lord. We worship you because you are faithful. We worship you because you first loved us. So help us to do the same. Help us to be people who go out into the world and reach people for you. Because that's what you're all about. It's in your name that we pray. And we all said together, amen. Amen. Well, welcome to New Hope Church, everybody. And then for those of you online, I'm so glad we get to be here. If this is your first time back, can we just say welcome home to those this first time back? Welcome home. Just welcome home. So thankful that we get to be here today. You may have a seat or just tell someone good morning. And we're going to take out our notes. For those of you who are online, your notes are... Well, there's a link that you can open up and you have your notes there. And for those of us who are here, we usually use either our app or some of us, we use our notepads or notebooks, whatever you want to use. And this has been a very interesting season. It's been good. I know children are starting school this week, so some of the parents are like, all right, let's get them into school. But we want to do it in a safe way, in a healthy way, and make sure everybody's well taken care of. You know, coming up to, each day and each week that goes by and us regathering, it's been phenomenal because you, the people, have been so faithful. Those of you who have been contributing, not just through tithes and offerings, but those who are serving, those who are relearning new things. You know, when a year and a half goes by, technology changes, habits change. So we're all trying to get used to this new season together. But it seems like everybody's, when you watch the Olympics, some are further ahead, some are a little bit behind. But sometimes the people that are a little bit behind, they start catching up. And that's kind of like what it's been, that we're all doing this together. Together, we're going to be able to move forward and accomplish all that God has for us because the church never closed. You're the church. The building may have been closed, but you're the church. So you represent Jesus in the world. And those of you who are online, we're all the church. We're the body of Christ. So we get to continue to reach people who are far from God. Today, we're going to take a look at a story in the book of Jonah. And if you know the story of Jonah, you already know there's going to be a fish involved. There's going to be some running away. But the book of Jonah is a pretty interesting book because it's not only is it a short book, but just the story alone seems almost like a fairy tale. It seems like one of the stories you read in kindergarten and first grade, one of those adventure books, and it can get blended in one of those things, like folklore and not real. But Jonah was a man who was given an assignment from God. And when it comes to God, we will either run toward God or run away from him. Those are the two options that we're left with. But it all depends on the direction that I'm facing when I run. That's what's going to determine where we're going to head. And Jonah experienced running from God, which later on he ended up running toward God, but he needed to surrender his way for God's way. That's why our series is called Surrender. We really don't come into this relationship with God to our full potential unless we surrender our life to him. We surrender all the time. We surrender to... Like if you're eating dinner and you're saying, I want to lose weight because our belt buckles are tighter. Our jeans are like, our jeans shrank over the past year and a half. So we say, no, I'm not going to eat certain things. I'm going to stay away from that. And then when we see it or someone offers it, we're like, just one time. And we surrender to that because it's there. And we surrender to each other's decisions. The best is, honey, where do you want to eat? Oh, it's up to you. Okay, let's go to, and you name a restaurant, and what do they say? I'll eat there. So you somehow come to a consensus and agreement, so somebody surrenders to something. What movie you want to watch? Oh, let's watch this movie. I don't want to watch that movie. Somebody surrenders. We all surrender sometime. So we're not, surrendering is not foreign to us. We all surrender. But at the same time, we all run. Maybe not physically, but we all run. We all run either toward God or we run from God. There's no middle ground in running from God. If you just stay in one place, you're still out. Have you played Chase Master lately? Chase Master was the easiest game. There were no batteries, no Wi-Fi. You can play in the dark, which is dangerous. But basically, you're out. You tag someone. But if you're between someone who's out and you're not out, and if you play teams and then somebody else is it, and they have to tag you, you still got to run. You don't stay in the middle. And the same is true with God. We were either running toward him or we're running away from him. Those are our options. And it's easy for us to come into the mindset of, no, I run toward God because I do these things. And that could be included in it. It could be a part of it. But we're going to learn from the life of Jonah what that looks like. What does it mean to run? And the reasons to run, because we all have them. We all have reasons. It's all inside of us. And we all have reasons to run. If there are reasons on the inside, if it's there, it's inevitable that it will manifest itself on the outside. So if it's already on the inside, if we don't correct it there, we will eventually run, either to or away. I heard it said that in sports and athletics, especially like MMA, mixed martial arts, that if a fighter is even thinking about retirement, they should. Because you don't want to hesitate while you're in the octagon. You don't want to hesitate because if you're thinking of retirement, you're not going to give your all. You're thinking of, oh, I got to play it safe. I have to be cautious. I don't want to go into retirement hurt or injured, which will cause you to get hurt or injured. So it is with God himself. If on the inside, you're saying, no, there's an opportunity that if this happened, then I would run. If this happened, then I would leave God. If this happened, then I would call it quits. If it's in there, that's where we got to correct, because it'll eventually manifest itself on the outside. Let's look at Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and it'll pop up here on the screen if you don't have your Bibles with you. If you have your notes, you can use that. But Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Notice, it wasn't from the assignment itself. He was fleeing from God. Like, I'm fleeing from the Lord, which, by the way, where do you run to hide from God? Like, that's cheat if you play hide and go seek with God. There's no chance you can hide someplace. Jonah thought he could, so he runs from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. So now here's Jonah on this ship, which he took time to schedule, make reservations, and get on the ship, paid the fare. Like, he went through a whole process of fleeing from God. It wasn't just spur of the moment that, okay, I'm just going to jump on a ship and go. He's making plans to flee from God. And I can't imagine what is going on in his heart, because he knows the assignment, but he also knows God. So he's on this ship. And while he's on this ship, this storm arises. This storm comes up. And now Jonah, knowing God, knows that this is happening because of him. But the rest of the crew don't. In fact, they don't even know who Jonah is. Jonah is not the what do you call that? The normal, the guy that always is on that ship. He's going in the opposite direction of where he's supposed to go. He's supposed to go to Nineveh. He's going to Tarshish. On the map, if you look at the map, it's like, wait a minute, this guy is like 2,400 miles away from where he's supposed to go. Now, these guys are freaking out because the storm is beating on the ship, and they gotta do something. So they start throwing out cargo and try to lighten the ship, try to figure out what's going to happen. And then they see Jonah. Like, hey, it's not the normal guy. He's sitting in my seat. Like, who's this guy? If you travel inter-island a lot, they know you. They just know you because you are a regular. Jonah's not a regular. He's irregular, which, that's bad too. So he's on the ship, sitting down. So they're wondering, like, who's this guy? So they question him. They say, hey, like, who are you? Where are you from? What are your people? Like, who are you? And Jonah says, well, and he explains who he is. He gives them his identity, kind of like his passport, and says, I'm actually running from God. And they're like, oh, you're running from God. You know he's here too. Like, and these are non-believers. They don't have a relationship with God, but they know that this is bad. Like, you're running from God? You're running from God. That's like, you can run from people, but you're running from God. Isn't it true that even non-believers know when we're not supposed to be doing what we're doing as a believer? Like, they'll even say something like, "Hey, I thought you went to church." "Yeah, yeah, yeah." "Well, how come you're doing that?" "Well, I don't know." So the same thing happens to Jonah. It's like, "Wait, you believe in God?" "Yeah." "Well, how come you're doing that? Why are you running from God?" And Jonah says, "Hey, I got a good idea. You know what's going to stop this storm? Is if you throw me overboard. That will stop the storm." I wonder if Jonah was thinking, "Nah, they're not going to do that." But they're like, "Okay." They grab him. They throw him overboard. No life preserver, nothing. Just throw him overboard. And the Bible says that the storm stopped. But Jonah's storm just begun. Jonah is in the... There's more to the scripture. You can read the book of Jonah. But being out there in the open sea, what is the first thing you would think about? Yeah, shark. Well, he never saw Jaws, so... And he never saw all these other shark movies, so he's not really traumatized like how we were growing up. I didn't even want to go in the bathtub after watching Jaws or the swimming pool. Kids watch Jaws today, they're like, "That's so fake." Yeah, but it was real fake. It wasn't CGI. So now he's out in the open ocean, and what comes up? A big fish. Like Jonah treading water, like, "Okay." And see the big fish, and like, "You gotta be kidding me. And that's how my life is going to end?" And here comes the fish and swallows him up. And he's still alive. He's like, "Huh, what is this? I'm in the fish. I'm still alive." I don't know if he was happy or more terrorized. Like, I would have just, like, end it. But he is still alive. He's still in the fish. He's in there for 3 days. 3 days. He no more Wi-Fi. He no more an iPad. He has nothing, just 3 days in the belly of a fish. Nothing, just complete darkness and whatever is in that fish. Whatever is in, I can't imagine what Jonah is going through being in the belly of this fish. It almost seems like Jonah would probably be contemplating, because I'm sure we would, like, "Oh man, I should have listened to God. I should have just went to the city and proclaimed the word of the Lord. I should have just done that. That was a whole lot easier than what I'm dealing with now," which is pretty interesting that when we're in darkness, that's when we start thinking of, "I should have followed the light." It's usually in darkness. It's usually when we're swallowed up by life, when we're in that situation that we made the decision to get us there, and then we're thinking, I knew I shouldn't have done that. I should have done something different." But we're here. And this is where Jonah is. He's in the belly of this fish because he ran from the Lord. Everybody runs. Everybody runs. And everybody has reasons to run. The reason is not the issue. It's the direction we're heading to. That's the issue. See, Jonah was fleeing from the presence of the Lord to Tarshish. You see, in Tarshish, he could have a religious life without having to surrender to God. He could still pray, he could still go to church, he could still do the things he knows he should do, the religious things, the do's and the don'ts. He could go through the motions and just do those things, but yet still not surrender his life to the Lord. To him, that was much easier. I can do religion in Tarshish. Religion is basically our attempt to do good things to gain God's favor. But Jonah was really battling with a relationship with God, which is God doing everything possible to reach us because we have his favor. That's relationship. That's what it's all about, being in this relationship with Jesus. It is not a religion. It is a relationship with him. So what do we learn from Jonah? Here's the first thing: surrender our direction for God's direction. Because that's the best direction to have. And when we surrender our direction to his, yeah, you're going to feel some pulls and some tugs here and there because we may wander in our own direction. But that's a part of this relationship with him. He leads us and he guides us. He gives us the person of the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, because the Holy Spirit is the guide unto all truth. And more than ever in our world today, we desperately need a guide for truth. I can tell you this, it's not going to be the news. It's not going to be politics. It will be the Holy Spirit that guides the church. If you've been guided by anything other than the Holy Spirit, you're going to feel a tug on your heart every now and then when you say, God, I surrender my direction to yours. Why? Because you have the person of the Holy Spirit in you already. It's good to know what's going on, but it's even better to know who's leading you. And he leads us in the best direction possible. We find more reasons to run from God than we do running toward him sometimes. And we have those reasons. It's inside of us. And sometimes it's because we don't need the land of Tarshish in order for us to turn from God when our heart is already in Tarshish. Like, we don't need to go somewhere in order for us to run from God when our heart is already running from God. Because God is always after our heart. So if our heart is already leading us, that's why Jesus said it well when he talked about the commandments, the Ten Commandments. And he says, you know, if you already have murder in your heart, you've already broken the law. Because your heart is going to lead you. If you constantly entertain those thoughts, if you have lust in your eyes, in your heart, that Jesus said, if you have lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. Lust in your heart for another woman, another man, another person. Then you've already, it's already in your heart. So he said, correct it here. Correct it here before you get to Tarshish, because it'll eventually lead you to Tarshish. And who knows what's going to happen along the way. You might get eaten by a big fish. Something in life will take you down. Why? Because you're running from my presence. I am your shelter. I am your fortress. Nothing else will protect you. I am your protector all the way into eternity. So when you surrender your life to me, you're still going to have those reasons. But direct your life to me. Whether you have evil in your heart, surrender that to me. Good in your heart, surrender that to me. Surrender it all to me, because I can take it from there. Then I will direct you in the best way possible, whether there's good or evil in you. I can do this. I can handle even the evil that's in your heart. That's why I sent my son, so he can die for you, so that I can lead you. So surrender that direction for God's direction. Sometimes we say it's his way. Like, I surrender my ways to your ways, because we all have our own ways. We're set in our ways. So here's the second thing we can do. Find reasons to run toward God. Find reasons, all the reasons you can. Because you're going to find more often than not more reason to run from God when you're going through something emotional. You're going to want to throw in the towel. You're going to want to say, I'm giving up. You're going to want to say, I've been serving you all this time and you can't even do this one thing for me. We say that because we're human beings. But find the reason to run toward God. It's the same thing that happens in life. When you're married, you got to find reasons to run toward your marriage, not away from it. Because it's easy to come up with a list of things like, oh yeah, she's like, I'm like that, I'm going to do this. Oh, you want to spend money on that? I'm going to spend money on this. Okay, you want to do that? I'm going to do this. Oh, you like come home late? I'm going to come home late. You never come home? I'm not coming home. It's like, who's going to win? After a while, we're winning, but we're losing. And with God, sometimes we do that with him. Like, God, you didn't do this, so I'm not going to do this. But if you do this, then I'll do this. God, if you do this for me, I'll read the Bible every day. God, if you save my marriage, I'm going to give you everything I have. We've all made vows with God. We've all said these things with God. But the very reason why we should, or the reasons that we can come up with to run toward God, is very simple. Because he died for us. And he gave us eternal life. You can never outgive God. If you stop and think of all that God has done for us, seen and unseen, he will always have a bigger list on that side than reasons why we run from him. He's done so much for us. and has set us up for all of eternity. But the opposite is true too. Once your heart turns toward God, then it will lead us toward him. In Jonah chapter 2, verses 7 through 9, Jonah says, "When my life was ebbing away," so poetic, "I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple." And this is when he's in the belly of the fish. "Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord." Can you see what Jonah is doing? Instead of him looking at all the reasons why he should keep running from God, he looked for the very reasons why he should run toward God. Why I should obey God. Why I want to stay close to God. Here are the reasons. And he's in the darkest point of his life. And he starts thinking of, wait a minute. Lord, you've given me more than life. When I run towards you, that's your love pulling at me. I will shout with grateful praise. There are so many reasons why I can shout these praises. And what I have vowed to you, I will make good. Salvation comes from you. It doesn't come from me. It doesn't come from anybody else. Lord, it comes from you. So you can see Jonah surrendering his direction for God's direction. He finds reasons to run towards God. And then the last thing is to process our emotions in a healthy way. In a healthy way. Now, I don't know how Jonah was processing while he was on the ship or on his way. I don't know if he's contemplating while he's, you know, buying his ticket and making reservations and thinking to himself, oh man, I'm running from God. I don't know how this is going to go. I don't know what goes on in a person's mind like that at that specific time where he was. But I know what happens in my mind, because there's a lot of justification that takes place. Like, God, you're going to forgive me. Oh, you're going to be, this is why you died for me. Or it's not going to be like really bad, but if it does, Lord, I know you're going to rescue me. Like, we battle with those thoughts, and we can slowly feel the momentum of running start to pick up when we're running from God. Very rarely is it a quick blitz run from God. Plus, we cannot blitz anymore. Our hamstring and something and pull. But we have it in our mindset that, okay, it's like little by little, slowly by slowly, eventually you start picking up speed, and then momentum kicks in, and now we're full-fledged running from God at a high rate. And next thing you know, our emotions catch up with us. We're going through an emotional breakdown, maybe anxiety attacks, depression, and it's with us. It is a real thing, and we're trying to deal with it. Even anger. I mean, anger is like the first emotion sometimes. It's just the first one that springs up. And then we punch a wall or a door. I remember punching a wall, thanking God I missed the stud. You punch the stud, you break your hand, cannot work the next day, gotta explain to people. And I remember when I did that, first thing Heidi said after I punched the wall, she's like, "You gotta fix them now." I was like, "I ain't fixing nothing. You fix them." And so I remember I needed to fix it because we were renting. It wasn't our home, so I needed to fix it. So I'm about to fix it, and I sense the Lord, because I was already, you know, I knew God at that time, which was last week. So I was trying to fix the thing. And I sat there, and the Lord said, "Don't fix it. You leave it to remind you of who you're not. This is who you're not." And so we put a calendar over it. And then I totally forgot about it. And I think we stayed at that house for about 10 years. And then when we were moving, and I moved the calendar, I'm like, oh, wow. Lord, you definitely have done some things in my heart. And then as I'm patching the wall, it almost seems like God was showing me what he did throughout that time in my heart. Like, this is what I was doing with your anger all that time. Because when you process with me in a healthy way, then I'm going to work on the inside out. And I'll patch those things up for you. Oh, I still have anger. It still comes up. Ask Heidi. It comes up. But hopefully today, there's some wisdom in there, because now we live in our own home, and I don't want to pay for a hole in the wall, much less or even more that hole in my heart, because that takes a long time to repair. So when you process with the Lord, it's really turning to Him and asking Him for direction. It's really processing with Him in His Word, getting the help we need. Somebody once told me, they said, everybody needs a therapist. And I remember when someone said that, I'm like, no, I don't need no therapist. So today I have a therapist. He's a good friend, and I process with him all the time. And he just listens, and I'll talk. And normally when I'm talking to him, I'm waiting for the response. Like, yeah, this happened the other day, and I was doing this, and I was thinking this, but I did this. This was the decision I made, and then it was all good. And he's like, wow, that's good. That's great. It's like, all right. You're looking good. But when you made that decision, how did you feel? Like, what? You can't just spring up like a three-point shot out of nowhere. But even at that, like, just to process. See, normally we don't want to process things. We want to push it on the side. That's what we've grown up with. Hey, no cry. No more bone, no more blood. Don't cry. And we try not to cry, right? It's a... You can't not cry when you're supposed to cry. We say that to our little 2-year-olds and 4-year-olds. Stop crying. And they just can't. There's a mechanism in us that even if you stop, it shoots up one more. It's there. You can't not cry. It's so hard. But what happens is, we don't process in a healthy way, and it shows up in unhealthy ways. It comes out. And when we process with the Lord, He's so gracious and loving, but also truthful, that He will help us process through whatever is happening. Remember the old phones that had the bell, a physical bell in it? When you hung up the phone, it felt so good. It was like, bling! You mad at somebody? Ding! It felt good. Or, and I've done this before, just rip them out of the wall. Like, you rip a cord out of the wall. Rah, rah, ding, all the buttons. Ding, ding, and it felt good because you felt like you processed your emotions. Like, yeah, you tell me. You hang up on the person so they can hear the... Sometimes we would hang up the phone like... Just so they feel the emotion of anger, frustration, disappointment, or jealousy. Oh, yeah, you're like looking. Now it's, yeah, what's up? Beep. Nobody's throwing this. I mean, if you throw your phone, don't you regret it the moment? You're like, no. And then $1,000 just floating away like, bye-bye. No. We try to process how we think we should process, but we really need to process in a healthy way. Jonah is in the belly of the fish. Where can he go? Who is he going to turn to? He can't call somebody. He can't take a turn somewhere. He can't direct this fish. In Jonah chapter 4, verses 8 through 11, we find that after Jonah the Bible says that the fish vomited him out on the shore. Like, that was the only way out. It was still messy. And he got vomited out after he cried out to the Lord. Did I read the other one? Did I miss one? I think I missed one. Yeah, I didn't read Jonah 3, 1 through 3. And this is important. This is important to read. Let me go back to Jonah 3, verses 1 through 3. Because the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. So while Jonah is in the belly of the fish, the word of the Lord comes to him a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. And then it says, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took how many days? 3 days to go through it. I'm sure Jonah was like, man, I wasted 3 days in the fish. I could have been done by now. Jesus spent 3 days in the grave and came back to life. For some of us, it's been longer than 3 days being in the dark. It's been 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years, 30 years. But there's hope, because the word of the Lord comes again and again and again and again. He's sovereign in all that he does. You know what stops all learning? It's one word. Excuses. That stops all learning. That's why I think Nike was so... their marketing in the 80s, I think it was the 80s, maybe early 90s, with just three words changed everything about their marketing. What were those three words? Just do it. That's what it was. It took athletes to another level. Or, oh, I'm tired today. We played last night all night and I'm tired. Just do it. Okay, I'm going to do my sprints. I'm dead tired today. I don't have any more energy. Just do it. It gave them the very reason so that they wouldn't have an excuse. It's just do it. With Jonah, he didn't have that motivation in the beginning. His motivation was just don't do it. I'm going to disobey God. I'm going to run away from God. But when the word of the Lord comes to Jonah that second time, and he goes into Nineveh, and he has them repent, from the king all the way down to the animals, they repent, they change. And you would think that Jonah is okay. He's like, oh yes. But what happens? Jonah gets upset because nothing happened. Nothing happened. It's almost like the same feeling that you would have if you're driving and someone is speeding through traffic, and then you see police officers up ahead. Doesn't that give you hope? Like, oh yes, this guy's gonna get pulled over. Yes! And then nothing happens. Don't you feel like, what? What you doing? Why you never pull over? And nothing happens. There's like a dissatisfaction. Versus someone speeding through traffic. And we don't think this because we're Christians. But they speed through traffic, and then later down the road, they're pulled over. And we never think this when we pass them by. We never think, good for you. We never think that. We never think, We never slow down and roll down our window and look at them. We never do those things. We never slow down enough so they know we know that they know we were the ones you and cut us off. We know now. But doesn't it, I'm not speaking for myself. My friend told me, it feels so good, he said. It feels good when that happens and someone got pulled over that was driving recklessly. For Jonah, everybody was speeding and no one got caught. In fact, he was the one that got caught. He was in the fish. He's so upset and he's angry. In Jonah chapter 4, verse 8, he makes a shelter. God provides a plant to cover him. And Jonah is happy. But the next day, when the sun rose, God provided. It sounds good. God provided. Awesome. What did you provide? A scorching east wind. And the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die. This is a horrible movie plot. Didn't you want to die in the fish? You want to die now? Why do you want to die now? What's the problem? And here it is. He said, and I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. You see how bad emotions are? It's not what he did. It's not that being in the fish wasn't even a problem for him as much as being angry. The situation of them not repenting or them repenting and then them not feeling God's wrath, that's what made him angry. It made him angry that nothing was happening to them. We see that happening in our own nation. When something doesn't happen to people who should be held accountable, we get upset. We get angry. And when we see someone go free who should not go free, we get angry. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant. The plant, Jonah, of everything, you're concerned about this plant. Though you did not tend it or make it grow, I sprang it up. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And then he likens it to the actual situation. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? You say, out of everything, Jonah, you just experienced, really, you're going to miss the whole point? I'm not here to make plants. I'm not here to bring a fish. I'm not here to bring a worm. I'm here for people, Jonah. That was the assignment I sent you for, to save the people. That's the assignment. It's the people. That's who I'm sacrificing my life for. Our emotions, very unpredictable. Happy one moment, and then the next thing, angry with rage. I love how Jesus said it. It's found in 1 Peter 5, verse 7. And Peter is reiterating what Jesus had already spoken. And I'll close with this. He said, cast all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. And Peter knew that. Peter knew that Jesus cared. If anybody, Peter knew. Peter was one of the disciples, and he knew that Jesus cared. And that's the heart today, that Jesus cares for you. If you're ever going to run, run toward God, because his arms are always open. Let's pray together. Lord God, we do thank you for this day that we get to learn from you. That although we find ourselves in different situations, that we find ourselves emotionally up and down, we trust you. We know that you are good. We choose to run to you. That's why we're here, Lord. We're not here for a religious routine. We're here because of you. And we're running to you. Thank you for embracing us. Thank you for welcoming us with open arms. Thank you for the opportunities that we have to learn from you, to give to you. Thank you for providing. And we do thank you for all the great things you have done, the things we've seen, as well as the things we have never seen, but we know that you have done great things in our lives. Help us to process our emotions with you in a healthy way. You're the one we run to. We also pray your blessing over those that give, our tithes, our offerings. Thank you. It's a small way that we show our love back to you as we give to you. So we trust you, Lord. We know that you're good. We choose to run to you today. It's in your name that we pray, and we all sit together.